The sixth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, also Mishnah Beis, discussing if somebody consecrates something to the Beis HaMikdash, so donates an item to the Beis HaMikdash, but that person who is the donor actually owes money to other people. So for example, if he has a wife and she has a ksuba is an amount of money that has to be paid to her, for example, if she gets divorced or he passes away. So she has a lien on all of his property, and he goes and he consecrates. She donates that property to the Beis HaMikdash, so she continues to have a lien on that property. Or another example would be if this donor, before he gives the donation to the Beis HaMikdash, he took a loan from somebody. So he owes that lender money, and now he goes and he consecrates his assets to the Beis HaMikdash. That lender has a lien on the items that were sold to the Beis HaMikdash. So we will get to that issue shortly. What we are going to start out is talking about with something somewhat similar. We are talking about if a father passed away and he had debts. So there are people that are owed money, and he has his yorshim, those who inherit him. What is going to happen is those debts still have to be paid off, so the Beis Din is going to get involved. They're going to sell those assets in order to pay off the debts, and it's going to talk about the process that the Beis Din is going to go through in order to get the highest possible price, because we want those yesomim, they have to pay off the debts, but we don't want them to lose on a bad deal in the sale of the assets. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Aleph, Shum ha-yesomim, this evaluation, appraisal process for the yesomim, those are the orphans that had the father pass away, shloshim yom is 30 days. What's going on here is that when these assets have to be sold out of the estate, the advertising period is for 30 days. In order to ensure a good price, you want to let potential purchasers know that the asset is being sold. And accordingly, it's a 30-day process that the Beis Din has to go through, announcing, as we'll see shortly, morning and evening, that assets are on the block for sale to maximize the price. And those assets, they will be sold. And those who are owed, the lenders to the father, they'll be paid off, and the balance will go to the yesomim, to the inheritors. Vishuma hekdesh. Now we're talking about when it comes to hekdesh, somebody donated something to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's being sold by the Beis HaMikdash in order to pay for overhead. If somebody donates a beautiful piece of furniture, for example, a beautiful piece of jewelry, for example, Beis HaMikdash isn't going to use that. They're going to sell it, and they are going to maximize the proceeds from that sale. So it's shishim yom. They're going to go and announce it, publicize the sale, the auction, for 60 days. Umachrizim baboker uva'erev. They're going to make that announcement morning and nighttime in order to generate interest and to sell that asset for the highest possible price. And now we are going to continue with a related issue, as we talked about in the introduction to this parak, that we are going to talk about if there's a woman who has a ksuba. She got married to a man, and the ksuba says if XYZ happens, if he passes away, if she's divorced, she gets to collect her ksuba. So she now, by virtue of being effectively a lender, because the husband owes her that money should those events happen, she has a lien on all of his assets. And what's going on here is if he goes and he is makdish those assets, as we talked about, he goes and donates those assets to the Beis HaMikdash, she still has her lien on those assets. And what we have is a concern. The concern of Chazal is what happens if he has regret. If he regrets those that he donated those assets to the Beis HaMikdash, now he has a way out because she is really the owner, effectively, of those assets. She has a lien on them, at least not the owner, but she has a lien on them. And she could go and collect those assets for the Beis HaMikdash if she has to pay it on her ksuba. So the concern is as follows. If he regrets being makdish those assets, and he can go make what we call a kanunya, a plot. He schemes with his wife and says, let's get a divorce. And by virtue of our getting the divorce, that's going to trigger your ability to go and collect those assets from the Hekdesh, from the Beis HaMikdash, because you have a lien on them, and I'll be able to get my assets back that way, and then we'll go get remarried there afterward, and that's a good way for me to take my assets out of the Beis HaMikdash. So Chazal said that cannot happen because of that concern, at least the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, and we'll read it inside shortly, in order to avoid the concern that he's going to make that kanunya with his wife, she'll take those assets and they'll simply get remarried there afterward. He, if he's going to divorce her, he's going to have to make a neder that he will not be able to give her any more hana, any more benefit. And you cannot have a situation that you can marry someone and not give that person hana. That is not a definition of marriage. So they would not be able to get remarried. So this is the protection that Chazal instituted, that they are not making a kanunya. So this is what the Mishnah says, Hamakdish nechasav b'aisalav ktubas isha. If somebody was makdish his nechasim, his assets to the base of Mikdash, but he was previously married and he's still married, he has to pay off his ksuba to this wife, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kishir Garshena, because we have this concern about the kanunya. If he gets divorced, we're concerned that he's just trying to get his assets out of the base of Mikdash and he's going to go get remarried to her again. Yadir hana, he has to make that netter that she cannot have any anam from them, and then we know it's not a kanunya that he's trying to plot and simply get his assets out, that he really is intending to get divorced from her. And now we, once she makes that neder, we will permit her to recollect those assets that she has a lien on from the base of Mikdash. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yeshua says you don't need to make that neder. Now there's a really fundamental machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer, who says that's the Tana Kama, Rabbi Eliezer who says you need to make that neder, and Rabbi Yeshua who says you don't need to make the netter, and it goes as follow. According to, we'll take Rabbi Yeshua first. According to Rabbi Yeshua, when you make a netter, for example, you make this donation to the base of Mikdash, he is of the view that you can be matir the netter. You can go to a chacham, a talmud chacham, and you can explain that I made a mistake. I didn't really intend to be makdishit. And he is of the view, Rabbi Yeshua is of the view, that hektish betol lo hevi hektish. If you made a mistake in donating something to the base of Mikdash, it's not hektish. And that chacham that you go can be matir that netter. Accordingly, because you have a way out anyway to get those assets back, Rabbi Yeshua is not concerned you're going to be making that kanunya with your wife, get a divorce, remarry her. Then accordingly, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Eino Tzarech, when you want to get the divorce, you don't have to make that neder. On the other hand, the Tana Kama, Rabbi Eliezer, is of the view that you cannot be nishala hala hektash. You can't simply go to this Talmud Chacham and tell him I made a mistake. It was a tot, and I want to get my assets back. You cannot be nishal. You can't go to a Talmud Chacham and get your assets back. Accordingly, that's why Rabbi Eliezer is concerned of the kanunya, and that's why he requires the making of that neder upon divorce. We are going to continue Kiyotze, but we have another scenario, similar scenario, and it is as follows. It's not the situation of the woman having the lien on the assets that were donated to the Beis Hamikdash, but rather a guarantor, a lender situation. So it goes as follows. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Af he'arev le'isha b'ktubata v'haya ba'ala megarsha. So similarly, just to correct that, we're not talking about the Beis Hamikdash situation. We're talking about, we have a guarantor, and the guarantor is on the ksuba. So when somebody got married, and the wife got a guarantor, if the husband doesn't pay me, I want the best man to pay me the ksuba. I need a guarantor on this. And we have that situation that va'af arev, that's the guarantor, li'isha b'ktuvata, to a woman on her ksuba, v'haya ba'ala migarsha, and we have the husband divorcing her. Again, we have the concern, maybe he is divorcing her, and they made a kanunya, they plotted together, they schemed together, and it's simply intending for her to go get those assets from the arev, from the guarantor. He guaranteed it. And then thereafter, once she collects, she can go and get remarried. The husband can remarry her. And they've made some money on the deal, the amount of the ksuba that was recollected from the harev. So because we're concerned about that kanunya, in order to avoid that concern, yadir hana, if the husband wants to divorce her, he has to make a neder that she cannot have hana from him. Accordingly, they wouldn't be able to get remarried. Now we don't have a concern about the kanunya. Shema yasa kanunya al nechasav, shel zeh v'yachzir. The issue, as we said, that is a concern that they would be making a kanunya between the husband and the wife in order to get the assets from the prior best man. He's not going to be the best man anymore. And then he'll simply remarry the wife. To avoid that problem, we require the husband to make the neder, and they cannot get remarried there afterward. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that if a woman has a ksuba outstanding, and the husband goes and donates his assets to the base of Mikdash, or if that individual, somebody has a loan outstanding, so he is a debtor, he is a borrower, and thereafter he donates his assets to the base of Mikdash. So the base of Mikdash doesn't, on a d'oraisa level, own those assets because the wife or the lender have a lien on those assets. So effectively, if the wife needs to get paid, or the lender needs to get paid, they can just claim those assets from the Beis Hamikdash. But Chazal had a concern, and this is a rabbinic concern, that people are going to think that you can redeem assets from the Beis Hamikdash and take back ownership even without being quoted them, even without paying anything and going through the halachic process of deconsecrating assets, not knowing that these assets aren't really consecrated. So Mishnah Beis tells us that we're going to still have to go through the formality so we don't cause people to think you can redeem assets from the Beis Hamikdash without paying. We're going to still have to go through the formality of redeeming those assets. So the Mishnah says as follows, Hamakdish Nechasev, somebody comes and he donates, he's makdish, his assets to the Beis Hamikdash, b'haisa la ksubas isha, u'balchav, and he has money that is owed either to his wife or her ksuba, or he has a loan from somebody, so he owes it to the balchav, which is the lender. Eina isha yechala ligvas ktubata min ahekdash, so the woman can't simply go straight and take her assets back, collect her assets. They are her assets. She has a lien on them in order to pay off her ktuba. She can't go to the hekdesh and do that, the Beis Hamikdash. V'lo balchov eschovo, and also that balchov, that lender, can also not go straight to the Beis Hamikdash and knock on the door and say to the gizbar, the treasurer, give me my assets. I was the lender. I pre-existed. Giving that loan was before the donation by the debtor to the Beis Hamikdash. I have a lien on it. You can't do that. Even though on a Doraisa level, you can do that. But on a Derabana level, you cannot do that. Ela hapoda, but rather the redeemer. That's talking about the husband who has to pay his ksuba, or the borrower who has that lender that has to be paid off. He's going to hapode pode almanas liten leisha ktubata. He has to go to the Beis Hamikdash and he has to redeem it. He's going to have to pay something in order to pay off his wife's ksuba, ulebalchov eschavo, or he's going to go and redeem it in order to pay off the lender let lend to money. Now we're going to give an example of this in the Seifa of the Mishnah. Hikdish tishim, if we have this individual, the husband, the borrower who was makdish, he consecrated something worth tishim maneh, $90, 90 maneh. Hikdish tishim maneh v'hayachavo mea maneh, and he owes 100, 100 maneh, so he owes more than that. What that means is that the wife has a security interest in the full amount, or that lender has a security interest in the full amount, the full 90, the asset worth 90, because they're owed even more. And now we know that this husband or the debtor, he doesn't have any money to go and redeem that asset from the Beis Hamikdash, because he would pay his wife or he'd pay the lender directly with the assets he had. He doesn't have assets to his name. So how are you going to redeem it? And we have to go through the formality of redeeming it. So what they will do is mosif od dinar, what the wife or the lender is going to do is going to forward him. They're going to effectively increase their loan, the wife's ksuba amount or the lender's loan amount by a dinar, which is 1/100th of a maneh. So they'll give that to the husband or the debtor and he'll go and redeem it. So the husband or the borrower, that's who the person who donated the assets, he's going to go and redeem those assets, halalu, in order, almanat liten leisha ksuba, in order to pay off his wife's ksuba, ulubal chovet chova, and to pay off the balchov, the lender, the obligation that he owes. So what we're saying here is even though on a deraisa level, that wife that has to get paid her ksuba or that lender who has to get paid back the loan, they can go and take those assets from the Beis Hamikdash, from the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash, because they have a lien on it, they own it fully. But nonetheless, because of the concern of Chazal, people might think you can redeem assets from the Beis Hamikdash without paying, so we have to go through the formality and pay a pittance, a small amount, in order to not give off that wrong appearance. Mishnah Gimel harks back to the prior Perek, Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav, where we saw that if somebody makes an Erechin vow, and the Gizbar, the treasurer in the Beis Hamikdash, is concerned that this person is not going to pay off that vow, that the Gizbar can actually take assets as security for the payment of that vow until that individual pays off his vow, and at that point, the security, those assets, will be returned to that donor, now debtor, of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is going to tell us which assets would not be taken from that individual, meaning the default is we're going to take everything, but If there are certain things that he's going to absolutely need, that will be on the list of items that we're not going to take from him. And even though we saw back in that Mishnah, we said that somebody who obligated himself to pay off an Arachin vow, he's going to give a vow, he's going to pay off the vow, we can take a mashkon, a security interest, in order to ensure payment. Nonetheless, this is the list of items we're going to leave with him. And it's either going to be the item, or if he doesn't have the item, we'll leave him the money to buy the item. No steam lo mezon shloshim yom. We're going to give him enough food for 30 days. Uksush ne'masar chodesh, and clothing for 12 months. Umita mutsas, and a bed and bedding so he can sleep on it. Sandalim, shoes. Utfilin, he also is going to need his tefillin to daven each weekday. Now, they're going to have a carve out on this when we're talking about leaving these assets, 30 days of food and clothing and the like. Law. It's talking about leaving it for him. That's the donor debtor. However, not for his family. It's based on a pasuk. We're only going to leave these items for him. We're not going to leave it for his family members. He's going to have to fend for himself. He's going to have to go get tzedakah, whatever it takes, but it's only for him that we're going to leave these items. We're not going to leave these items for his wife or his children. And continuing, we are concerned that he'll have a parnasa. We need him to be able to work, continue working. So if he's a craftsman, we're going to have to leave him certain tools of the trade. The Mishnah says, "Im haya uman." If he's a craftsman, "Nosim lo shnei klei umanos mikol min v'min." We are going to leave him two tools for each type of tool that he needs. In case one breaks, he's going to use another one. So we'll give some examples here. If he's a charash, if he's a carpenter, for example, "Nosim shnei ma'atzadin ushte megera." We're going to leave him two planes. That's a type of instrument, a type of tool for smoothing and forming wood. We're also going to leave him two saws. If one breaks, he'll have the second one. Now, these are all the tools of the trade. We're leaving him two sets, but they're, according to the Tanna Kamma, certain assets, we'd call them capital assets nowadays. So if he's a car driver, that's not a tool. We're not going to let him keep his car. That's an asset that would be sold in order to pay off his Erechin debt. So Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. Rabbi Eliezer Omer im haya ikar, if he's a farmer, even though he has larger assets, no steam lo etzim do, we're going to leave that farmer his team of oxen so he can plow. And if he's a chamar, which is a donkey driver, no steam lo es chamaro, we're going to leave him his donkey so he can continue working. The Tanna Kamma would disagree. The Tanna Kamma would say those are not tools. Those are expensive assets, and those indeed would be sold off to pay off the debt of this donor, now debtor, to the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Dalet is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that if we have a craftsman, we are going to leave him two tools of each tool of the trade that he requires. And we'll just give an example. If we have a carpenter and he has screwdrivers and hammers. So what happens if he has multiples? So we saw in the prior Mishnah, we're going to only leave him two of each one. The rest will be sold off as assets. However, our Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet, is going to deal with the situation that he has three, four, five of one, but he only has one of another. Are we going to let him sell the excess tools? For example, he has four screwdrivers. Will we let him sell two of the screwdrivers in order to buy a second hammer? Or are we simply going to take away two of the screwdrivers, sell those, and he'll have to make do with one hammer? All he had was one hammer till now, so why should we let him have two hammers at this point? So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Hayamin Achad Meruba, if he had one tool, one category of tool, and it was a lot. He had, for example, four or five of those screwdrivers, Amin Achad Muad, and one he has fewer than two, only has one hammer, for example. Ain Omrim Lo Limkor Min Hamaruba. We don't tell him, we don't let him sell the excess of the screwdrivers, Velikach Lo Min Hamuad, and to buy an additional hammer. That's not going to be acceptable. We have to make sure that Hekdesh has paid off what he owes, and accordingly, if he made do with one hammer before, he's going to make do with one hammer now. Ela Nostim Lo Shnei Minim Min Hamaruba. He's going to be able to take two of the one that he has excess of, so he's going to be able to keep two of the screwdrivers, v'chol shiyesh lo min hamuad. And whatever he has of the hammers, only one, that's what he's going to have to get by with. And now we're going to talk about a different din. We are going to contrast when we saw in the prior Mishnah, we said that if somebody makes an erechin vow, he says, I'm going to give the erech, for example, of myself to Hekdesh, and the Gizbar got concerned and took a security interest. He can take a bunch of things, but he's not going to be able to take the tefillin. We leave the tefillin outside of the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, or what would be taken as collateral by the Beis HaMikdash. We are going to contrast that not with the Erechin Ba, but a Makdish. If somebody is Makdish, he says, all of my assets, not I'm giving my Erech or somebody else's Erech, but I'm giving all of my assets to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sanctifying them, all of my assets. What happens with the tefillin? So in this situation, in contrast to the Erech, that the Erech in that situation, the Gizbar cannot take the tefillin, in the Hekdesh situation, when somebody says, I'm Makdish all my assets, that includes the tefillin. And in order for him to get those tefillin out of the Beis HaMikdash, he's actually going to have to redeem them. He's going to have those tefillin appraised, and he's going to have to pay the value to get those tefillin back. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaMakdish as Nechasav, somebody is Makdish, all of his assets, his possessions, Ma'alin lo as tefilav, we are going to appraise, we'll determine the value of the tefillin, and we are going to enable him to buy it back, but it is not going to be in a safe harbor that it won't go into the assets of the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be Hekdesh, and he's going to have to buy it out of the Hekdesh of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Hay continues the concepts we've been discussing when somebody makes a Hekdesh vow to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to give my possessions to the Beis HaMikdash. Certain assets are not included. And similarly, when somebody makes an Erech vow, the Gizbar can take certain assets as a security interest, but other assets cannot be taken. So Mishnah Hay says as follows, Echad HaMakdish es Nechasav. Whether somebody is Makdish his assets to the Beis HaMikdash, he says, I'm going to be Makdish my possessions to the Beis HaMikdash, or the same thing applies to V'echad HaMa'arich et Atzma. If somebody says, I'm going to give my Erech to the Beis HaMikdash, either way, Ein lo lo b'ksus ishto, when it comes to what is he, in the first phrase of that, what is included in his Hekdesh vow, what is being donated to the possessions, or alternatively, what assets can the Gizbar take as a security interest when somebody makes an Erech vow and he has not paid it yet? It would not include the clothing of his wife. That's excluded from what's being donated to the Beis HaMikdash or what the Gizbar can take as a security interest. So, Ein lo lo b'ksus ishto, v'lo b'ksus banav, the clothing that he gave to his wife, the clothing that he gives to his children, that's no longer considered his own asset. That would be subject to being donated to the Beis HaMikdash or taken as a security interest for an Erech. The lo bitzeva shetzva'an lishman, and even if he simply colored, he dyed garments to be given to his wife, for example, but they haven't been used, they're brand new. So his wife hasn't worn it yet. V'lo b'sandalim chadashim shalakhan lishman. Or similarly, sandals, shoes that he brought, they're brand new, but he bought it for the wife, for the kids, as long as it's been designated for them, even though it hasn't been worn yet, that would be considered their possessions, not his, and accordingly would not be subject to his donating them, or if he already gave an Erech donation, it would not be subject to the Gizbar taking them as a security interest. And now we're going to talk about something related, but not exactly on point. We're going to talk about sales of assets, sales of items that have been donated to the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see that there's going to be a distinction here. When somebody wants to sell an asset, it's worth it sometimes to invest in the asset, because if you put something in, you make it look better, you improve it, you paint the house that you're selling, you're going to get a higher sales price. You get your money back plus. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to take that chance. Maybe you're not going to get more money. Maybe there'll be a loss. Maybe the market price will go down. So we'll see at the end of the Mishnah that when it comes to sales of assets by the Beis HaMikdash, the sale is going to be done immediately. We're not going to try to maximize profits at the risk of having a downside, at the risk of taking a loss or the price going down. We're just going to sell it right now where that asset is in order to make the money for the Beis HaMikdash and not risk it. So the Mishnah says three examples of when they're selling their assets, it's worthwhile to either wait till there's a higher price or to invest some money. So afal pi shamro, even though it is told, Chazal tell us that, number one, avadim nim karim b'ksusan l'shevach, when you have an eved to sell, he's going to have a value in the slave market, and he is sold with his clothing, he's going to have a certain actual value in the market. But shim tiklakach lo ksus b'shloshim dinar, if you buy him more expensive clothing, for example, if you buy him clothing that costs 30 dinar, he's going to look so much better the sale price is going to not only be 30 dinar more, because that's the expense of his clothing that he's being sold with, but mashbiach u'mana, the price of that eved is going to go up to 100 dinar. Mana is 100 dinar. You're going to make more than three times your investment. Put in 30 dinar and you will clear 100 dinar. That's going to be actually 70 dinar profit that somebody will make. So it's worthwhile to invest in an asset that will increase the price. Number two example, v'chein. Para, if you want to sell your cow. Imamtinin osalit lis. If you would wait, have a little patience, wait for the market day. So wait until Monday, wait until Thursday. That's when there's a lot more demand. The purchasers are coming, the buyers are coming, people are coming. Market day, you're going to get a higher price. Mashbachasi. If you wait out the time rather than selling it right now on another market day, you will get a higher price. The market price is higher on the market day. And example number three, v'chein margalis ima'alino salakrach mashbachasi. If you take that pearl and instead of selling it here where you live, in a small town, take it up to the big city. There's a lot more demand for pearls in the big city. The buyers are there. You're going to get a higher price. So it's worthwhile in all these examples to invest the money or to wait the time, wait for the propitious event that will occur in order for you to monetize that asset. On the other hand, in contrast, ein lehekdesh ela makoma v'shata, when it comes to hekdesh, we are going to sell it where it is, we're going to sell it right now. We're not going to wait, as the Bartanur brings in the name of the Rambam. When it comes to Hektish, we're not going to risk. We understand there's upside, but there's also downside, and we don't want to risk a downside with the money of the Beis HaMikdash, so we're going to sell it right now where that asset is.